following episode of Toffee Blue View was recorded on Monday, May 14th. This was before the Everton cull, which saw Big Sam and company make their exit. Just so you know, me and the guys were blissfully unaware of what was to happen, although we had our suspicions. So, enjoy the show with the knowledge that we didn't have the knowledge. Thanks. Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I'm Jerry. I am joined today by Max and a face you might remember from such shows as this one from a long time ago. David is here as well. David, how are you?
Yeah, I'm okay, thank you. I'm even... What I've been doing is waiting until the season finished, and then I'd be like right back here, you know. So suddenly I'm not so busy anymore. No, I'm really busy.
Everybody, check out David's surroundings. It's just beautiful, isn't it? It looks totally posh. I'm sitting here in a cinder block building, and David's got like artwork behind him and stuff. This is ridiculous.
That's maybe later on the show. I'll show you this ridiculously big picture that we have behind us in the living room, but not important.
So we are not completely ignoring Max. It's just we get to see Max a lot. All right, that's it. Yeah. And Max knows this. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I know. David deserves all the compliments that are getting thrown his way. He's a busy man, isn't he? It's nice to see his face.
I don't know at what point it's gone from sincere to taking the piss. I can't. Whatever it is, I think I've missed it.
So, well, we've got a long show today. We just have a lot of stuff to wade through. So I want to go ahead and summarize everything for the people listening via podcast. So we are going to start with the West Ham reaction. Awful game. And that's a preview. Okay. So we'll be giving a reaction to that. Then we'll be doing some end-of-season awards. All right? Some of them the same ones that the club gave, but also some of them that we've invented, just kind of reviewing a bit of the season. All right? And then finally, we will end with a discussion of who Everton's starting 11 should be. Who are our best 11? We did this mid-season, where we ranked all the players and we just took a look to see who ranked the highest, and then we pieced those together as to what a good starting lineup would be. And we're going to try to do that again because it's the end of season. Things change. The world changed. You know, I mean, we're in a different place now. It's so different. No hope left. The only hope is that summer is upon us. That's our hope. So, and we may be living in a Sam-less era very soon. So.
Fingers crossed.
All right, so let's react. Let's give our reactions to this this West Ham match. If you've been living under a rock, we lost 3-1 and did play well. Did not play well at all. So which one of you guys wants to start? I figured, Max, you were there. You actually entered the void that is London Stadium. All right.
I did.
Oh, and you know, how was it? How ridiculous was it? How far were you from the pitch?
I tell you what, right? I've never climbed Kilimanjaro. I haven't done any treks or hiking or anything like that. But I tell you what, I was sitting in the upper, and it may as well have been a bloody mountain. The amount of climbing of stairs that you've got to do to try and reach your seat when you're in the upper, it's absolutely ridiculous. I think the best highlight coming from the game was I was sat really quite close to the West Ham fans, and obviously, you know, back and forward between both sets of fans, and I swear to God, there was these two lads sat a few rows down in front of us. They mustn't have been older than, what, 16, 17, and I tell you what, they gave as good as they got with the West Ham fans the whole game, and in terms of what was on the pitch, that was a lot more entertaining to bloody watch and observe. So, you know, thank God the season's over. I think that was something coming into this game. We have something like unbeaten in our last 9 away at West Ham. And just that setup, what was that setup? I mean, as soon as I saw the team lineup, I saw 3 at the back, and I was thinking, bloody hell, You know, we tried to pull this off against Southampton, and look what happens. Look, you know, what happened as soon as we kind of switched the system. Southampton ended up grabbing their goal, and I think after Sunday's performance, really, I think it just shows that Sam Allardyce hasn't got it in his locker to pull off a team that plays three at the back or five at the back or whatever you want to call it, because the defenders just got absolutely run ragged by, you know, the likes of Marco Arnautovic and Manuel Lanzini. And I really do feel like this, the club just needs a complete, rinsing, to be honest, top to bottom. It needs a complete shake-up. The fans are completely disenchanted.
Mm.
And that's really never a good sign. The way the Everton fans are feeling disconnected to the club at the minute is a horrible sight, really. There's no other way of putting it. You know, you're in and amongst all these fans, and obviously, you know, growing up and being a Blue, you see them as the best fans in the world, and to see them so dejected and so downhearted, really, if that's even a word, with what goes on. It was gutting, really, but just thank God the season's over.
So, David, do you want to pretend like you watched, or, you know, how do you want to play this?
I actually take pride in saying I didn't watch. Like, I kind of wear that like a badge of honor. I mean, I did have a genuine excuse. I was saying before we started filming that I was working the Everton ladies game, which I've seen to done a lot of over this past week, which is a 2 o'clock kickoff. So I could have caught the end, but by the end of the game I was working, that we were already down and out by the sounds of it. Didn't seem like we were playing well when we were getting beat. But it's funny, obviously you never want to see Everton lose, really, under any circumstances, but there was something quite poetic about getting beat yesterday, because it feels as though, as these seasons being concluding, we feel like we've had this horrendous season, yet we're sitting in eighth, and you're looking in the mirror thinking, you know, are we being what the media painting us out to be, in this kind of, you know, really expecting too much, demanding too much? You know, we're talking about one of the worst seasons we've ever had, and certainly in recent history, yet we're sitting in eighth. But I think it was nice to just put in one final real shit performance, a defeat, and just kind of demonstrate what we're all talking about here. As Max touched on, our record against West Ham is really good. You know, we're very much a bogey team for West Ham. We should be playing up to that. Should be going there. And it doesn't matter if it's only points on the table. We should be going there and trying to win, even if it's the last game of the season. And we didn't set up to win. And it was a comfortable afternoon for West Ham by all accounts. So, yeah, I think it was quite poetic that we put in that kind of naff performance at the end and finished on a defeat to end a pretty woeful season.
So I started thinking about how negative our support has been. And I think it's justified. It is. And however, I wonder if it would have been so negative if we knew for a fact Sam was not coming back next season. If we knew, you know what I mean? I mean, think about it, all right? I feel like one of the reasons there's such displeasure voiced on social media and at the matches is because we're scared he's coming back. You know, we're scared we're going to kind of sit in this mire that we've kind of laid down in for this season, which is just rooting down, thinking, oh, that's unwinnable. Well, no, we'll just throw in whatever lineup. That's unwinnable. We're not going to do that. You know, and then just focusing on the wins that we should be getting, the expected ones. However, if we thought as a group, you know what? That manager's not going to be back next season. He came in, made sure we were safe. You know, I don't think we were really all that worried about relegation, to be honest. But clearly the board were, and Mashiri was. But he came in. It was not the worst. It could have gone worse. It really could have. But if we knew, like almost a Moyes type of situation, contract till the end of the season, you know he's going. You say, you know what, you did your job, peace out.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like that's part of the vitriol, is we're scared he's coming back.
I agree with that, and I just want to say, obviously, when a new manager comes in a situation like Sam did with Everton, obviously when he's come in, we had a good run, didn't we? How many games was it? Was it 6, 7, something like that, without getting beaten. It obviously, yeah, that is a, and he somehow takes credit for the win against West Ham as well, at home, but that effect wears off, and that's not kind of like a secret. That happens. Managers' effects when they come into a side, it wears off, and it's clearly wore off with Allardyce. Because if you look back at some of the games where, you know, the not only the result but the performance have been absolutely dreadful, and as you say, and obviously the board were quite quick to pull the trigger of bringing him in. Hopefully, they're just as quick to pull the trigger to get him out and try and bring someone in that can implement a kind of progressive philosophy that we actually want to watch.
Yeah, I agree. I think touching on your point, Jerry, obviously, when things turned very sour at the end of Martinez, we had only two games left. Was it one or two? It might have only been one, actually. And he was sacked before that game, and it was a completely different atmosphere on that Sunday. And yeah, I always remember thinking that was a mercy sacking for Martinez, because it would have been we've seen a lot of it this year now, but it would have been really nasty at Goodison.
Yeah,
and obviously we knew he was going, and it did have this kind of much lighter atmosphere to it. And I think maybe in hindsight they should have done that. I think the main issue they might have had, I'm talking about the board, is I don't believe they know who they bring in, even on an interim basis at the moment, because Unsworth has done that job, but I don't think he'd do it for a third time, no matter if it was one game or 10. So I think their idea was to just get over the line and get it over with, but it still doesn't stop that niggling anxiety of, is he going to be our manager next season? Surely not, but I just want to lay my cards on the table. I don't for a second think he will be.
I don't either.
So, and I'm not too concerned. It's just, it's been about getting this season over with for so long now.
I mean, because that's the thing you see on social media. There continues to be a lot of anger. I mean, if you just look at our we ask people for 3-word match reactions, all right? 90% of them, at least, are saying something about gravy and Sam and out. You know what I mean? And there's just such anger. Now, question, serious question. Roberto Martinez finished 11th twice in a row, you know, subsequently. And however, I mean, it was frustrating to watch. I'll be honest. It was very frustrating to watch. Even though we played supposedly attractive football, it was frustrating to watch us try to crack into the box, passing the ball around, just passing it around. It was so agitating to watch. I guess the problem is we watch Allardyce, and he plays us as though we're a relegation-threatened squad. Mm. That's the way he sets up our squads. You know, it's exactly as though we're worried. You know, and we're not at this point. Yeah. So why not go for it? And I think one of the reasons, to be honest, I think one of the reasons he set up the way he did in that formation is he wanted to give Funes Mori a start. And he wanted to start Michael Keane. You know, he was trying to get these guys World Cup time, you know, which, by the way, did not work for Vlahovic. He's not on their provisional roster. And neither is Onyekuru. And that's a discussion for a different time on Nigeria's provisional squad. So there's that. But I think he was trying to please everybody. And I think that's one of the reasons why he set up like that, you know, which sucks.
Yeah. The only thing that is annoying me with this, and I've touched on it before, and it's just become so evident over these last few weeks. All three of us, we all get the Allardyce issues. I don't like Allardyce at all. I don't think he should ever be an Everton manager. But it's like, once again, because the scapegoat is there in Allardyce, I feel like the squad get away with so much from this season.
I've heard that before.
They've got away with so much of the responsibility. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I understand that a manager plays a pivotal role in any side, but he's not the one on the pitch. And these lads know how to play football, and the commitment hasn't been there enough for me. So I feel like as I've said, we knew what we were getting with Allardyce, and just some of the players, a particular few that we'll probably go on to later, have really let us down this year. And I feel like they shouldn't get away with escaping any sort of blame because we've happened to have these managerial fuck-ups.
No, I agree with that because, like I said earlier, I feel the club's in need of a complete wipeout, to be honest. Just going back to what Jerry said earlier with, under Martinez, obviously, when he kind of come on the scene, obviously, what was that fifth place finish? And we were thinking, yeah, maybe we're going to push on now and we're going to start looking like a permanent fixture in and around this top six. And I think that is kind of the weight that's been hanging over the club, really, because if you think about it, obviously those two consecutive 11th places, and we kind of that was the benchmark was set really with that fifth place finish, wasn't it, really? And I think the fans expected that going forward, and obviously in terms of the investment that the top six have had in their squads compared to ours recently, anyway, we've still got a lot of catching up to do in terms of our investment, but I think Koeman fully felt the weight of that, and obviously Unsworth has tried to steer us clear of further disaster, but that wasn't to be. And as you say, with Allardyce's mentality and the club's aspirations, they're two complete polar opposites. And it's never it, as David said there, we kind of all knew what we were getting, didn't we? They're just two kind of mentality clashes, and we've kind of felt the full repercussions of that.
I started thinking about Koeman as we've been talking here, and about one of the things that really failed him was transfer windows. Okay? And I don't think it's entirely on Walsh, although I think Walsh has to shoulder some of the blame for taking on a job that frankly is beyond him. All right? Because I do think it was beyond him. So I think part of that is Walsh. Part of that is Koeman not communicating well with Walsh. But they did not get that striker in the summer, which they needed badly. All right, they didn't get any enough defensive cover. They did not. That was a huge problem. And those two right there, those were big mistakes. I felt like our squad did a lot better when Leighton Baines and Seamus Coleman came back. Those were two things, and they happened to coincide with Allardyce, right? Right around the same time, which is an interesting coincidence. But it's interesting. I don't entirely blame Koeman on that, though. I blame Walsh, and I blame the people that appointed Walsh. I think they all. I think it's too easy. Like one of the David, you were just saying, it's too easy just to blame one. It's too easy for that, and that's too simplistic. And life is more complicated than that. It takes a lot of people to screw up. We'll talk a little bit more about the players later on because we're going to be doing our player rankings later, and we'll talk about which ones we feel like maybe have let us down, and really give them some consideration so we can wag our fingers. Hopefully that make us all feel better. Really quick to talk about the rest of the game. Who played well? David, this question is not for you. Max, who played well? David's like, I played well by not going. That's what happened.
Uma.
It's the only name I got written down.
Yeah.
That's
Then
it.
it as we've said, and I think it kind of we hit the nail on the head when we said it, the reason why we love him is because he's so unconventional and he's so dynamic and so all over the place, and that was our only real attacking outlet. We just let him run around like a madman, and
And Cenk
he
Tosun did not get enough opportunities. We were just
no.
lumping the ball up to him. He was trying to hold the ball up for as long as he could. We couldn't get enough people forward. I don't really blame him. He just didn't stand out, and I don't think it's his fault necessarily. Nias, though, found a way to be a part of the attack. Found a way. He ran his socks off, which is what he does. It's not to say Cenk Tosun didn't, but I think Omar just plays a different weird pressing. You know what I mean? He just presses differently. I don't have anybody else that stood out.
No,
You know?
not really.
Which is sad.
So, I don't know why I'm. Maybe it's just to contribute to the conversation, but would you keep Nias in the summer?
No.
No. Was you, Jerry?
Max doesn't like Omar. I'm
Sorry.
joking with Max. I'm joking with him
No,
right now.
it's not that I don't like humor, it's just his style of play. for me, it's just, and again, it might be just me holding the club to too high of a standard, but for, you know, the player that you know is going to shoulder the responsibility up front, or as he's been used more often as the kind of the impact player off the bench, they've got to be of a higher footballing quality than, because we, you know, his touch isn't the greatest, and
no,
you know, he's not gifted with particularly good technical skills. So I think we need to get someone that's just of a higher caliber.
So I would keep him as the third striker. I would not keep him as a backup striker. All right, I just want to make it clear. I feel like we need someone a little more, not really a big, like, hold-up striker. I'm talking about somebody smaller and quicker, you know, someone in the mold. I'm saying Jamie Vardy, but I don't mean Jamie Vardy. You know what I mean? Someone who could give us a different look. Someone who can maybe combine better than Omar does, but is maybe more of a quick, you know, quick passer. Omar just gets unconventional goals because he just runs. I have no idea how he does it. It's weird. It's always weird. But I feel like you need it. You need a scrappy goal scorer. You know, someone who just, the first touch he had that set up that goal, that was weird. Mm. You know, it was perfect. But what? You know, the guy who, when the ball comes to him, it bounces like 5 yards away. You know, that's. But he can do that. It's so bizarre. There's a reason why I think his nickname in Russia was the Lucky One.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I get it. Because when he scores, you're like, oh, that's just. But he does it too often for it to be pure luck. You know what I mean? He just knows how to be there. So crazy. So yeah, long story short, too late, David. I would keep him, but not as my number two.
I agree.
So who did not play well, guys?
Too long of a list, really.
I took out two, and you're about to say one.
I've got, like, Jordan Pickford didn't have the greatest of games.
No.
Particularly for that Lanzini goal. It was just, I don't know. I really got the feeling that the whole squad needs a bit of a shake up after that game in particular. Because, you know, if you go back to, say, I don't know, say around, I think when Man City won the first league title, that was a season where we'd finished above Liverpool. Obviously, we had Moyes. We had the likes of Jelovic, Fellaini, Pienaar, that group.
Yeah.
And we were kind of on an even pedestal to the likes of Liverpool, Tottenham. I think that might have been the year where Chelsea won the Champions League, but they didn't have a particularly good finish in the league.
Yeah.
And we went too far off them. And, you know, you look at how these clubs have progressed beyond us. And looking at the group players that were on the pitch against West Ham there, the likes of Lanzini and Arnautovic really shone and looked a different class above them. And to be debating in my own mind whether I feel like we're kind of like that with West Ham now, it just really, you know, it. I think that's enough for me to say none of the players really were good enough.
I agree. Pickford didn't do well enough. I specifically thought the Arnautovic goal, the fact that it went like over his head.
That was the one that I meant. Sorry.
It almost looked like he was like, you know what I mean? It's like he didn't actually. It was weird. It, like he didn't see it until it was like right here, and then he like moved out of the way. Which I don't expect from him, like, ever. Sorry. I expect too much out of him. I thought that was poor. He did not have his... He made some good saves, though, in the first half. I thought he saved a couple of one-on-one opportunities. That was good. But I have to single him out when he screws up, too, and that happened. Yeah. I thought Keane, that on the same goal, Keane looked like his legs were just buried up to the ankles, and he had to pull them out in order to try to stay with Arnautovic when he got around him and got the shot off. It was so slow.
I genuinely don't think Keane is anywhere top 10. Not even like we're talking to on top 6. I'm talking top 10 Premier League quality at all. I think he is, you know, we've given the benefit of the doubt quite a lot in terms of saying, well, he looks better when he's with a settled... that old centre back, but he never looks great. He just looks better than what he's been. I can't think of a time I've ever been blown away by a Keane performance. And he seems to me that he just makes up the numbers on the pitch, but he's in such a pivotal part of the pitch in that centre-back role that you can't be carrying passengers. So if there was a way we could get half our money back on him in the summer, I'd probably let him go. And I hope he proves me wrong, by the way. I hope he stays and becomes everything we wanted, but no, too many times he's just been so poor this year.
I felt like very early, the beginning of the season, I thought he looked pretty strong. I actually thought he was one of the strongest players on our squad at that time. I do not feel like that anymore. I just want to say that out loud. All right? Don't feel like that anymore. And I think it shows something about what he's got going on up here if he has difficulty adapting to new systems, like that much difficulty going from four at the back to three at the back. Because you see him struggle every time. Now,
how old is he now?
Do what?
How old is he?
What, 24?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I thought he was early 20s, but that's all I got. I'm not sure.
I mean, he could still learn a lot and come very good, but I don't know. He's been disappointing this year.
I feel more comfortable with Holgate, personally.
I do.
We can get into that later as well. A couple of more just quick things to talk about. Funes Mori played a half. I thought he looked okay until he let, was it Lanzini, make that diagonal run behind him. He didn't stay with him, and that was Lanzini's first goal. I thought that was on him, personally. So there was that. But, the rest of it, he was just, he was there. He was all right. You know, made a good play here or there, but...
Another one just kind of making up the numbers on the pitch.
You know? Yeah. Devi Claussen played a half.
Yeah, he did.
And just, I mean, it's not like he put a foot wrong. He didn't really mess up, but he also didn't really do a lot. He played one ball, that long ball, that diagonal long ball, and I think it went to Bolasie on the right, or was it Nias? Somebody running down the right flank, and he put it right in stride. It was a beautiful ball. But that's the highlight. That's really all I got.
Yeah, I feel like he's petrified to do anything remotely contributes to the game. You know, I think he's probably so worried of making a mistake and being out the fold again for another 2 months that he kind of plays within himself. He's another one that might flourish next season.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it depends on who the manager is. That's where it will start. So if he even lasts that long, you know. And at some point, I think we could talk about Rooney was not even on the bench. Okay, we'll talk about Rooney in our players segment, I think. But yeah, I think Max and I thought that he was possibly going to be there, maybe even get the start for his final game of the season.
He was injured, wasn't he?
Supposedly. Do we believe that?
I don't know.
I sort of don't.
Yeah, I'm not.
Whenever I hear he's agreed a deal, and he's hurt. You know what I mean? I don't know if I can buy that. So that's it for our West Ham reaction. Guys, let's do more. We're going to talk a little bit about this past season. Review the season a little bit with the end of season awards. Now, this isn't like a straight up review show because if it were, we'd be summarizing results and whatnot, and we're not really doing that. We're just going to, you know, give out our awards, and then if some memories crop up, then we'll talk about it. Pretty simple stuff. No rules. There you go. All right. So probably the easiest question for all of us, player of the season. Is anyone disagreeing with Pickford?
No.
No.
Okay, I was like, David, who is it? David's like, looks like he's pondering things there. Okay. All right. Next, young player of the season.
K- I went in a different direction. I think obviously Pickford was the first name I put down, but obviously because I'd given player of the season, I thought I'd be a bit versatile and share the love a little bit. And I give mine to Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Just for the, you know, I always repeat myself when I talk about him, but you know, he threw in at the deep end and expected to be our starting striker for a duration of the season, where it really should never have been the case. As you said earlier, we really missed the trick by not bringing in a replacement centre forward, and you know, the young lad had to shoulder the burden, and I think, you know, credit to him.
I agree. Calvert-Lewin was mine. I think, as you hit the nail on the head there, certainly in that first half of the season, he was almost being relied upon as our main striker. And he contributed to a fair few goals for us as well, whether that be getting on the score sheet or assisting. And then he adapted his game a little bit to playing out wide. Maybe not everyone's cup of tea, but he done a job out there, and then he's still a young lad, and he's a good lad to have on the book. So, yeah, he's my young player of the year.
We didn't plan this, so I thought I was just going to give it to Pickford and move on. But because they've gone in a totally different direction, and I want to fit in with the team, I'm going to say Holgate, because I think I wanted him to start at center back all season long.
Yeah.
I'm angry he got injured and was unable to play pretty much the rest of the season, because I thought he deserved to. I thought he's one of our strongest center back pairings, and I was angry when he started seeing the bench more. So I'm giving it to Holgate just because I want to be contrarian. There's that.
Big word there from Jerry.
That's right. Yes. I mean, the word of the day club. I always use the word that I learned in the morning. So next, goal of the season.
Got a feeling it's going to be a clean sweep again, isn't it?
I'll start it off, Rooney, against West Ham. I think it's no brain. It's one of the best goals I've ever seen.
Honourable mention, Sigurdsson against Swansea.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Sigurdsson against
Southampton, against in Europe, you know. Yeah. Just Sigurdsson.
Yeah. Who
was it? Hajduk Split?
Yeah.
That
was an important goal, lad. So that's up there, but just for the pure technique of not taking a touch and off the floor, really is my
honorable mention is the Sigurdsson goal against Hajduk Split. Rooney's goal, just because they play it all the time here in America. I see it, it's great. So next, signing of the season.
Gonna be a clean sweep again.
I gotta say Pickford.
Yeah, I agree. Pickford, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if anybody really comes close, except for down below a little bit more Sigurdsson, you know? Mm. But he was injured for the end of the season, so it's kind of, you know what I mean? But this is,
I feel like Sigurdsson had a really good, say if you split the season into thirds, I feel like he had a real good middle third.
Exactly.
After slow work, very hard, started becoming vital, but then got injured.
Yep. Yeah. Agreed. Definitely with you. So next, worst player of the season.
Sandro Ramirez.
Sandro.
Completely jumped ship. Spoke, told me everything I needed to know about his attitude and his mentality.
It's a fair point.
It was a great opportunity, you know. Young lad, had a really good, I think it was the under-23s Euros, he had a cracking Euros, always kind of was one of those players with a bit of buzz around his name, coming from Barcelona, did well at Malaga, and tried to, you know, we were in his corner for a fair good few months, saying, you know, he hasn't been given his due opportunities, and, you know, we did say, when he did play, he didn't really take his opportunities. Did he? His hold-up play was poor. He didn't really link up particularly well. And, you know, he jumped ship back to his homeland and says he doesn't want to come back. And,
it's a captain's mentality. You haven't heard class and say anything, have you? And he's had a tough spell as well. But, yeah, it's kind of like this. No, I don't want to go back. I've had me 6 months there, it didn't work out, so I'm off rather than kind of proving a point. So be it.
Yeah, initially I had written down Claussen, but I don't necessarily. I don't know. You convinced me with Sandro's attitude. You're right. You know, the only reason I thought maybe I was trying to think about who has contributed the least this season, and it did seem like Sandro got like, I don't know, an assist in preseason or something, but Claussen got an assist in one of our games early. You know, I'm trying to remember which one. It looked almost accidental, but he did get one. So yeah.
I think he was involved in a very good movement for the Stoke.
The Rooney goal against
There was
Stoke.
that. There was one
Yeah.
that was the he passed it to somebody who was, it was a little combination. He was around the 18.
I think it was a Europa League game.
Yeah, when we fielded all the kids.
Yeah.
Jeez. But yeah, I give it to Sandro.
We are worst player, aren't we? Not worst transfer.
Worst
It's
player.
player, yes.
Yeah. So it was a toss-up for me between two, but I'm going to go with Bolasie. Keane is a close second, but for me, Bolasie's just been an utter disappointment. He's contributed next to nothing, and he, unlike the other two, he has played a lot of football this year. You know, had chance after chance. He kept Luckman out on the bench, and eventually we've lost him for 6 months, maybe long term. We don't know yet. Instead, we've kept playing him week in, week out, and he's just been shocking. And he's been shown up by the San and the Walcott, who's, I suppose you could argue, I don't know, are they? That the wingers aren't they? I know they're a bit, little bit different styles, but Walcott's come in and had an instant impact. Whereas Bolasie's just been utter turd.
Yeah, I thought about Bolasie because he's been my worst performer over the past 5 weeks, I think. It's been really rough. The only reason I didn't say him is because he's got a goal and an assist, and I was taking it too literally, if that makes sense. I was basically saying who has literally not helped us at all, you know? And yeah, Bolasie's been rough. Really has.
I feel like if you've had a lot more playing time, then you've had a lot more opportunities to
That's
contribute
fair.
more.
That's really fair. Okay, so next, biggest waste of money.
Spoil for choice here, aren't we?
Yes, we
I
are.
think it's got to go to the these severance packages that we're handing out left, right, and centre. The first one came up. I mean, I'm just got winding the clock back a little bit. The one that we gave out to Martinez, went to court and had to be settled and ended up being around 10 million. And that kind of repeated itself with, we had the Holland wage dispute with Koeman. I think that was about 6 million a year. And Allardyce now, something like 9 million for 18 months. He's earning more than the likes of Simeone, Pochettino, Emery, and nothing can justify that for me.
What do you think, David?
I'd still refer it to a player, and I'd probably lean towards Keane because it sounds like I've got my own Keane, I hate Keane fan club, and I haven't at all. But I just expected so much, and we paid, what was it, 20 odd million for them? Yeah, but I'm pretty sure we could have got a solid, consistent centre back for that price elsewhere. So, in terms of wasting money, we've wasted 20 odd million and we haven't bought a suitable centre back.
So I've got two different answers here. All right, and we sit this doesn't have to be a player, as Max demonstrated. So I think if you ask me at the end of this season, I say Claussen, just because of the money spent. The money spent based on output. I think we spent less on Sandro, so that's, I mean, we spent a good 15 million less on Sandro at least. And we got almost about the same amount of playing time out of Claussen, for the same amount of results. And that's 15 million more. So at the end of the season, I think Claussen is my biggest waste of money, but I actually have faith that he'll end up being more worth it after next season. So after next season, I will look back and I will say the fact that we gave Sam an 18-month contract instead of a 6-month, which clearly he had us over a barrel. We know why we gave him that. But still, we are going to have to give him a lot of money at the end of the season, and it's just going to be a shame. And I feel like that will have been wasted money. Yeah. Anyway.
I feel like we, whilst we're on the subject of honorable mentions, we can, although it wasn't employed this season, we can give an honorable mention to the biggest waste of money in paying Steve Walsh's salary for this season, because obviously he's just been a complete and utter disappointment. Like everything. It's the buzzword at the moment, isn't it, in these videos? But he has, even as the purchases that have looked good, the likes of Walcott, they haven't been these hidden gems that we were expecting, and, you know, this kind of excellent scouting network. Like, any club outside the top six in the Premier League would snap down enough to get Theo Walcott. And Tosin isn't that, I suppose, is it a little bit of a gamble, maybe, but, you know, he's played in the Champions League, he's a hero in Besiktas, so chances are he's going to do well. So I just don't think there's any scouting notes that's kind of made his salary worthwhile.
Yeah, I'll be curious as to if he sticks around in a different role, which I think it's very possible he might. It's a little bit of a demotion, but he's really going back to a role he's more comfortable with. So next, what was your worst moment of this season? I've got one, and I don't think I think we might all have different ones, oddly enough.
Yeah, I think we will. I've got quite a unique one, because I remember the sheer level of embarrassment and anger I felt when Rooney gave the ball away for Man United's first goal at Goodison. That really deflated me, because I just thought, you know, Rooney coming back, he's going to have all these landmark moments. You know, we saw his goal in his first game back, his first goal in the Merseyside derby, you know, his first hat-trick at Goodison, but he sets up his old club to go in front against us, that was just probably the biggest facepalm moment of the season for me.
David?
Yeah. Go on, Jerry. I feel like we always get first dibs, and you're kind of left with the scrap. So go on.
So the angriest I got this season, and this is basically a whole game, because I felt like the whole game was one long shitty moment. All right, but Atalanta away.
Yeah, so
right.
Funny.
That was the worst. I actually had a little hope. I had a little European hope. And that just crushed it.
Yeah.
It was so bad. I don't know if we did anything right that day. It was that was embarrassing to go on.
It was a reality check, wasn't it? It made you think, shit, we're not even going to do anything in Europe this year.
It was so bad. And I was expecting to see, okay, Koeman's going to make something happen now. No. That was the worst. And I pisses me off thinking about it. Like, I'm starting, my brain's bubbling right now. I'm so angry.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. All right, David, what do you got?
Yeah, well, funny enough, mine is also the same opposition, but it's that 5-1 at home. You know, we're not talking a good side here. We're talking on the European scale anyway. We're talking like European minnows, really. They're not even a massive club in Italy. To get done 5-1 on your own backyard is just utterly embarrassing. But I agree with that 3-0. Weirdly, you'd expect a 5-1 to trump it, but for me, they're both level, because as you two just touched on, it was at that moment I thought, holy shit, we are bad and we are going to fuck. Because we'd had these bad seasons with Martinez, but when we had the Europa League alongside it, if you remember, we were fantastic in it. You know, we were struggling in the league, but we were like winning the group and, you know, doing really well. And I was hoping for something similar this season. And when we got stuffed by them, I thought, oh shit. So Yeah, I think that was it. But the 5-1, just that was an utter embarrassment. Like, I just couldn't believe Atalanta will win that Goodison 5-1.
Yeah, and honorable mention to Apollon at home, us giving up that late goal. That was,
Yeah, that basically killed us, didn't it?
yeah. European nights, not so
Oh.
great this time, huh?
No, I do. Yeah.
Also, John, who runs the Toffee Blues account, mentioned we need to mention the Lyon at Goodison,
Yeah, the brawl.
the brawl where man with baby takes swing at keeper. All right. That's a thing that happened, and that
Oh.
actually may have been a headline, the exact headline. So yeah, that Ashley Williams, folks. That was when he still had some fire.
Yeah.
All right, so that was our worst moment. Now let's try to end with some positives, guys. Try to dig deep.
Everyone is they're just like, oh,
Yeah, I know. Everybody's like, well, they've already made us feel like shit. Well, yeah. But we're
okay.
trying to round it out, you know?
Yeah, come on, we'll get some between us.
Best moment or the least shit moment of the season for you?
Extra time against Watford, where it was what you love Everton for, isn't it, really? Completely under the cosh, 2-0 down, and the last few minutes to completely turn the result on its head. It was a good feeling. I think an honourable mention goes to Cenk Tosun at Stoke away, where I think that was where we really kind of thought, okay, he's definitely the starting forward. But as you say, there's been very few this season.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Watford for me was the only real highlight. I think if just in the interest of giving a different answer, I'd probably give the same as Max. But in the interest of giving a different answer, Leicester 2-1 at home was probably a big one for me because we'd looked like we were just spiraling back into that kind of relegation battle. Which Coleman obviously come back in. We did really need a win just to settle ourselves down, and there was kind of no backup of sacking and bringing in a new manager at that point. So that was a massive result. So it was great to win that one. So probably, as I said, in the interest of giving a different answer for Watford, I thought Leicester was a good one at home, 2-1.
I'm going to give a cliche answer. I'm going to say the win over West Ham at Goodison. Just because we didn't have a lot of matches where we just beat their ass. You know what I mean? And that was one. You know, where we just absolutely just ground them down. And it was and we got we saw goals. We saw a game with like more than two goals from us, which is unheard of. You know, this season. And yeah, I just remember the glee watching Rooney slap that ball in beyond midfield. It was, yeah. That was mine. One of my buddies is a West Ham supporter. That was nice.
Him a
So
little bit.
I wish,
Yeah.
yeah.
And in fairness, when we rolled into that game, we were both really struggling, weren't we? And it was kind of someone needs a win out of these two teams. And it just so happens that it was nice to be on the side of the fence that won comfortably for a change rather than always being the opposite,
Yeah, the penalty. I think that there was a penalty save from Jordan Pickford in that game as well, wasn't it? Because it so it was as if everything that West Ham threw at us, we were just saying, nah, fucking, I have a bit of
Just
this.
like that. Nah.
Yeah,
The only thing that
being.
changed things was the looming specter in the crowd that was the big Sam Allardyce, who was there,
Marcel.
who likes to take credit for that one. He likes to cr take credit for that result. His pre-team talk made all the difference. Pre-match talk, yep.
Of course.
Yeah. So, manager of the season. We've had three. Yeah. Who do you want to choose, guys?
Pep Guardiola.
Yeah. I'll go. I was gonna go first.
Go on, you
I'll just get it out of the way. I'm gonna say Unsworth. I'm just gonna say
go
it, just because the, some of the moments you were just describing, like we were just talking about, came under him. All right. Also, he did. You know, he's got a lot of his players coming up from U23s. I know that's not fair, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So yeah, I say Unsworth just because he's the only one I sort of like out of the three.
Yeah. If it was on who we like, then yeah. But unpopular choice, I think Allardyce has done the best
Yeah.
with him.
Yeah.
You don't want to give him credit, but as we, it sounds like we contradict ourselves because 1 minute we're saying,
Yeah.
we weren't going to get relegated. Then the next minute, I'm about to say, we were in trouble. And as I said, I don't for 1 second think we were ever going to go down, but I think we made it a lot more comfortable than we thought we were going to make it at one point. We were counting points on games at, in
Yeah.
December. And it, when you look at it, we were pretty much done and dusted safe by like February. So I think he deserves some credit for that.
Yeah, swallowing your pride there earlier. I was searching for moments, in the short time that Koeman had around the start of the season, but there's literally nothing you can really credit him for, is there really?
No.
He did shit in it. He done bloody awful in the transfer window,
Yeah.
and you've got to give credit where credit's due for Allardyce, because as I said earlier, that run of games that we had when he first came in kind
Yeah.
of saved our asses, really.
And he's made a knack of winning games when they matter, like that Leicester game I talked about. We needed to win that, and we did. And suppose it was nice enough to get tonked by Liverpool for this year, But I said we are clutching straws.
Yeah, you guys are better men than I, because for me, the best I can do for Allardyce is it wasn't as bad as it could have been. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like that's really I can't bring myself, I don't know. 'Cause the difference is Unsworth for me, he thought the club should have been winning every game.
Yeah.
You know what I
Yeah,
mean? I
that.
guess that's the like if I had a choice for one that I wanted to build on for the future, that would be him. But who if I've got one I want to save the club, I go Allardyce. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? It's ugh, what a crap. See, y'all made me feel crappy for picking Unsworth because because Allardyce, yeah, he's not as bad as it could have been.
Well, your own choice, and I say I just think he just needs begrudgingly he needs a little bit of credit because we're fair,
Yeah.
we'll give him a stick when he deserves it, but when we have the chance, we'll give some credit.
Yeah, I feel like under Koeman, that was where the wedge and the divide between the club and the fans really started to happen. And I think alluding to the meaning behind Gerry's pick is that kind of that connection kind of was reignited under Unsworth, wasn't it, really? We kind of, we felt like we were Evertonians again, and we felt like there was a mentality at the club that was, the right mentality to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be pragmatic, the way you guys are picking the right answer, by the way.
Yeah.
If we're being Allardyce-esque, you guys are picking the right answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, last question. Who's the best player? Who's our best player on our squad? Who is the best?
Who will go on to become the best player, or who is currently the best player?
I think if you were to assign numerical values to the most valuable player on your whole
Oh,
team, like
so
the
we're going for the MVP.
I guess it would have to be that. I don't know. I'm just trying to think about like on the world scale, if there was a team in the like far away that wanted to just hand pick our players, who's the
Yeah.
first one they would pick? It doesn't matter position,
I've got my
whatever.
answer, by the way, if you want us to start us off.
Yeah, go on.
I think.
Go ahead.
Oh, go on.
No, go ahead.
Go
I didn't understand what you said. Go ahead.
on. I think Gylfi Sigurdsson for me.
Bingo. Bingo.
I think he, on paper, is our best player. So, yeah. He'd be
I.
my.
What do you. And you agree? Max?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking about it. If we're going at like basketball style MVP, probably got to be Pickford, but in terms of best footballer and best player that we've got, it's got to be, I think, it's Chigerton, myself.
I think on paper, it's Idrissa Gueye, just Ooh, because of the stats.
Go for me.
Actually, yeah, I'm a big advocate of Gueye. I'm always the kind of one that says if you kind of picked him out of our squad and put him in a top six squad, I think he'd probably do the best out of any player that you kind of you drop in. Because I feel like he's kind of, you know, his dynamic approach, you know, he just basically runs his ass off and is effective at it. I think that's kind of, you know, I think going forward, he's the first name down on the team sheet. And I think Sigurdsson's adaptability wouldn't be as smooth. We saw he struggled to, as Dave said, you know, with kind of that first third, he struggled to adapt to being out on the left, didn't he, at first? And I see your point, definitely.
I think for me, it's more just a bias in the sense that I don't love players who, and it's ludicrous because it's the position, you know, it's like me moaning at a left back, but I don't love players who sit in that holding role in midfield just for the fact that they don't do enough going forward. But I know that's, as I said, it's ludicrous because everybody has a position to play, but, you know, midfield's kind of traditionally a jack of all trades, and when they're playing in that anchor position, they don't really contribute as much going forward. That's probably why he wouldn't get their heads up for me, but I can understand the reasoning.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the stats for interceptions and all that stuff, he's really high. That's why I was thinking about statistics and all that. On paper, I would give it to him. I agree. I don't think he's not the best in terms of combination play around the box. You know, it's a miracle when he scores a goal. It's a miracle. But I think he's one of those players who we just need to surround with people that are going to create more.
Yeah, I think he's indispensable to our side, really.
But yeah,
if we are going to push on, then definitely you think he'd be the man that's first down in midfield.
Yeah, I would say we talk about Sigurdsson, Pickford, Gueye. These are players who I think are our strongest. You know, the ones that are worth the most, all that. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, I believe that is all for the Toffee Blue View End of Season Awards. This is our Best 11. Special, the end of year best 11. We did this very similar segment in the middle of the year, and yeah, now we're gonna do it again. We have gone through every single first team player or a young player that seems like they have a possibility of playing first team next season, and we've rated them between 1 and 10. Just to throw it out there, someone gave a comment to the last time we did this and suggested a different way to rate this. Where we rate it based on positions. However, we wanted to be consistent with the rest of the season, so we'll probably do that next season and see if that system works. Okay? So, yeah. So here's what we got. All right? Pickford. All right? I gave Pickford a 9. Max?
Yep, I gave him a 9 as well.
David?
Yeah, I did.
All right. There's really not a lot to say about Pickford. There he is. He's our starter, and he should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the perfect 10, because he still does have the odd mistake in his locker, but definitely the starting keeper, as you say.
Yep.
Yeah.
Stecklenburg, I gave him a 4.
I can't remember what I said.
You 4. Know, you gave a 4.
Yeah. I gave him a 4.
And David, you gave him a 3.
Yeah, because he doesn't even make the bench, and last season, I didn't particularly rate him.
Yeah, Robles, we all gave him 5s. Frankly, he's probably off, and he's such a professional, nice guy, and I hope he does well wherever he goes.
Yeah.
So our starter for our best 11 is Jordan Pickford, and this is not new information. So far, we have not uncovered anything brilliant. Next. So we've got Leighton Baines. All of us I said 7, I believe. That's right.
Yeah, I've got this kind of niggling thought in the back of my mind that he's on the he's on the decline, isn't he? And I think we really do need cover for him and someone to step in and ultimately be there to take his place when the time does come. But for now, he is our best starting left back, isn't he?
That's what I would say.
I 7th for different reasons, because I still think even on the decline, he's a good Premier League fullback. But I think it's more he just missed a lot of the season, didn't he, with injuries?
Yeah.
So can't give him more.
Personally, I just don't think I think he's got a little bit left in the tank. I just don't think he's an every week starter. I think when you have older players that are contributing, you just can't start him every week. And we learned that lesson with Rooney this season, I think. So next, as far as possible left backs go, we don't have a lot. Anthony Robinson, I gave him a 5, although I think he's a good player. That was based on what I think he would be at our, you know, for us, our first team. Yeah. Max gave him a 7. Max has seen a lot of him and been pretty impressed.
I've seen quite a bit of him at Bolton, and yeah, he's done exceptionally well. And they stayed up last game of the season, didn't he? So, you know, credit to him for having the impact in at a championship level.
Mm-hmm. And David said a 6. Kind of split the difference there. All right. So, yeah, I should be – I love this guy. I want to be – and my rating was the lowest. And he – U.S. national team. You know what I mean? I love Anthony Robinson. Just, yeah. And another possibility for – we don't have a Luke Garbutt. I gave him a 4. Max, you gave him a 5. And David gave him a 3. Now, David, you watched a lot of him this season.
Yeah, I've seen a bit more of him this year than most in the under-23s. And he hasn't been particularly great at all. And he wasn't great in his previous loan move. So I think he just needs to get back out there and get to a new club and start again.
So really, that's really sort of it for our natural left backs. Okay. We don't really have any, you know what I mean? We only have 3. There's others that are right backs that flip over. Speaking of which, one of those, Cuco Martina. I gave him a 5 because of versatility and hard work. Max gave him a 4, and David gave him a 6.
Just echoing your comments, really, Jerry, just for his hard work and versatility.
So next, so that's really it as far as the left backs are concerned, and Leighton Baines is our highest, so he is on our best 11, okay? Next, let's talk Seamus Coleman. I said 8. Max, you also said 8. And David said 7. Okay? Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, I still love him. Yeah. It's the same reasons as before. I just think he's missed a lot of football, hasn't he? So you can't really give him too much.
Agreed. Next, as far as right backs are concerned, Jonjo Kinney. All right? I said 6, Max said 6, and David said 7, right? I think he did really well stepping in for Seamus Coleman. He just didn't fully seem like he was completely ready.
I hate using them as an example, but, you know, you look at the likes of that Trent Alexander-Arnold at Liverpool and how he's getting on there. I don't know, completely different setup and different philosophy that gets played there, but you know, you can't help but really compare the two, and I do feel like Alexander-Arnold's better. Although I do feel like he's got a future, Jonjo Kinney, you know, it's got to be said.
Yeah, agreed. I do agree. I love him as a player. I think we just need to keep being patient with him. Colm Connolly, I said a 5, just because I'm considering what he might do for us and the fact that he's been playing two different positions over at Ipswich this season. Max said a 6, and David said 7.
Yeah, I've heard some great things from him this season, so I think he's done well. So yeah, he could be one for the future.
Hope so. Apparently he has played well, but he really flourished in that defensive center mid position this second half of the season. It's interesting, because I don't think we would have played him there, as far as, you know what I mean? As far as right backs go, that is all. All right, and Seamus Coleman is our strongest right back. Again, I think we all saw that coming, right?
Yeah.
So next, let's talk center backs. And this is, I think, where we can find a glaring deficiency in our squad. All right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because our highest rated center backs, I don't know if everybody would expect this. Michael Keane, I gave him a 6, Max gave him a 6, and David gave him a 5. David's Michael Keane disdain is well documented over this season. He even created the hashtag not too keen.
If you're not too keen on Keane, I've set up my own anti-Keane supporters group. The link is in my Twitter bio. Do check it out.
So there's Keane. Ashley Williams, I gave him a 5. Max is a huge fan of Ashley Williams, gave him a 3. And David gave him a 5.
Well, it's got to be added. That was considering what he'd do with Everton. I do feel like he'd be great for a relegation battle in Premier League squad or a squad, because I think he's a great leader, and we've saw that with his kind of relationship with Mason Holgate and what he's kind of developed in that sense. So
yeah,
he'd be good at that level, but just not this level.
Yeah. I will personally be a little surprised if Williams is with us next season. I'll be very surprised.
Yeah.
Next, Ramiro Funes Mori. I gave him a 6. Max said 6 and David said 6. So we're pretty consistent in our opinions about Funes Mori. We haven't gotten to see him much this season, though, so we don't really know.
A lot of players could have higher or lower, couldn't they, in this ranking, but we need to see more of them.
Yep. Agreed. Phil Jagielka, which for the majority of the time I've known that guy, I've called him Jagielka, but apparently his name is pronounced with a yeah sound. So yeah. I gave him a 6, Max gave him a 6, David gave him a 7. All right. He came on the second half of the season and it looked good.
Yeah.
Looked like one of our strongest center backs, actually.
Hmm.
So, Mason Holgate, I gave him a 7, Max gave him an 8, and David gave him an 8. We like us some Mason Holgate, you know?
Yeah.
We'd be great if we could have seen more of him.
Yeah, going forward, he's definitely, you know, I think we've said it plenty of times, he should have been getting runned in the side when he was getting benched, and you just think, you know, it's just crying out for him to be in the heart of that defence. I do feel like for such a young age, he could develop a kind of leadership mentality and become a real integral part of the squad.
Yeah.
Two others that may be considered. I know we have a couple of centre-backs on the U23s right now, but I think they may find themselves on loan, and that's Feeney and Gibson. I think they'll probably be going out on loan to kind of get a little bit more... experience, get a little bit more hardened. I think it'd be really good for them. But two other center backs that have been out on loan and are coming back, and I'm not including Galloway in this list because I just don't think he has much hope to play first team next season. But Matthew Pennington came back from Leeds. We gave him a new contract that could have been just to get a bigger fee.
Yeah.
But I gave him a 5, Max gave him a 5, and David gave him a 5. Just kind of it's hard to say how he would do with us after a season in the Championship.
Yeah, and he hasn't particularly, by all accounts, looked very special in the Championship, and he still kind of struggled to adapt. So I was very, obviously, you know, there's always the chance that, you know, it just could be higher sell-on value, but the renewing his contract was a strange move to me.
It's interesting. Tyus Browning is the last one. He was at Sunderland this season. I gave him a 5, Max gave him a 6, and David gave him a 4. I was under the impression, there's a Sunderland journalist that I follow who said some good things about Browning in the earlier part of the season. Kind of said it looked pretty good. That was why I thought he may get some consideration, but I don't know I think he's been injured of late. I'm not sure how the middle of his season went, to be honest. So, David, you gave him the lowest. Did you know something about how he's done?
I just heard different things. Said he'd struggled a little bit, and obviously he's been in such a loser's mentality team for all year that I just don't know what player is going to come back. If you haven't particularly been playing well and you're getting beat every week, I think he can ruin a career. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, really curious. And he's still young, very young. Okay, so our two strongest center backs, according to our rankings, we have Phil Jagielka and Mason Holgate. Yeah. All right, that's our center back pairing, which is, that's a little bit surprising. I don't know if we would have thought that, but frankly, right now, those are the two people I feel safest putting them at center back. So that's that. So next, let's go midfielders. Yannick Bolasie, I gave him a 5, Max gave him a 4, David gave him a 4. We know why. His performances this season have been subpar. We've expected more. So that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
We gave Rooney rankings, even though it recently came out that he has agreed a deal with DC United, which would be about a 7-hour drive for me to go watch him play, which would be awesome. But there's been all kinds of rumors as to whether or not it's actually going to happen. If it was sort of an ultimatum he gave the board, like, hey, if Sam stays, I go, or whatever. I just think they're both going, you know, whatever. But we did give him rankings. I gave him a 6, Max gave him a 6, and David gave him a 7. So, yeah, anything on Rooney, guys, or it's pretty straightforward?
Yeah, I just think he's still our top goal scorer, isn't he? So he's contributed something.
Mm-hmm. He has.
Yeah. Nice one for the memories, Wayne.
Next, Walcott. 8s across the board. All right, all of us gave him 8s. I feel pretty good about him, I believe.
Yeah, if we were speaking of his impact in the side since we signed him, we probably got, you know, leaning more towards 9-10 because I think he injected some much needed pace into that side, but he's definitely the first winger on the team sheet.
Agreed. Additionally, as far as wingers go, Adam Olalookman.
Yes.
I gave him an 8. Max gave him a 9. David gave him an 8. All right. He is actually our highest rated winger. Just throwing that out there. Okay.
I think he was before we left.
Yeah, and there really aren't, we just don't have a lot of natural wingers that are on this list, and I may have already gone through them. You know, if you consider Onyekuru a winger, well, he we don't know if he's going to be here, but I gave him a 6, Max gave him a 6, David gave him a 5. But we don't even know, we don't really know what's going on with him. We just found out that he's not in Nigeria's provisional squad, which means he probably won't be able to get a work permit, which means he could be at Anderlecht again. And there's what's really funny is there's all kinds of conspiracy theories coming out of Africa that say that Anderlecht knew that he could have played, but they didn't play him because they want him on loan again next season.
Strange.
Do I believe all this? I don't know. I'm just saying what the news says. Do what?
Tinfoil hat.
I mean, really. I do think he's a good young player. I was looking forward to seeing what he could do for us next season. Oh, well. However, some people would consider this player to be able to play on the wing because he played on the wing for the English national team. I believe it was the U-20s that won the World Cup. Kieran Dowell, he did play on the wing some. He likes to cut inside a lot. But I gave him a 6, Max gave him a 7, David gave him an 8. I was surprised that I thought the least of Kieran Dowell. The only reason I didn't rank him higher is because I think it's mainly because he has fallen off at Forest the second half of the year. And that could have been a coaching thing, which I think it is. But is he stronger? I feel like he's stronger in the center. Don't you guys?
Yeah, I think the mold of player that he is, I think he really reminds me of Gylfi Sigurdsson in a really weird way. I think
totally agree.
His ability to create something out of nothing is, you know, a really valuable asset for any player to have. And I think I've tweeted about it earlier in the season. I think he's destined to go on and do what Barkley never did at Everton.
I totally agree. Early in the season, I thought we were going to keep him. And I thought it was interesting that we were thinking of getting rid of him and buying Sigurdsson when they seem like the same type of player. However, I'd rather have Sigurdsson because he's proved it in the Premier League and he is sturdy. You know what I mean? I think the season in the Championship helped Dowell. However, I would love to see him in the squad next season. Just throwing it out there. Next, let's go Morgan Schneiderlin. I gave him a 6. Max said 7. David said 6. He was not in our strongest 11. Just throwing that out there. Okay? James McCarthy, I said 5. Max said 6. David said 6. He's not in our strongest 11. Davy Claussen, I said 5. Max said 6. David said 5. He's not there either. Tom Davies, I said 7. Max said 6. David said 6. He's also not in it. Vlasic, 6, a 5, and a 6. He's not there either. Benny Mayadi, 6, a 5, and a 7. The 7 was David. The 5 was Max. Okay. He was on the border, but he actually was lower than Tom Davis by 1. Okay. So he's not in. Mo Besic, I gave him a 5, and these two gents gave him a 6. We have no idea what's going to happen with that guy next season. You know,
No.
he had. I think by all accounts, though, people would say he's had a good season, though,
Yeah.
being on loan.
I like, I think everyone likes the style of player that he is, his
Yeah.
passion and his dedication to the cause. It's just the kind of the lapses in his play that seem to kind of prevent him from making an impact at our level
Yeah.
anyway.
Yeah.
Morales. A 3, a 4, and a 2. He's going to be gone. My last two midfielders. Last two midfielders. Idrissa Gueye. I gave him a 9. Max said a 9. David said an 8 because he doesn't like the fact that he doesn't contribute anything going forward, which is fine. That's a personal thing. You're entitled to that, David.
I think he scored as many goals as Bolasie this season, to be fair, but
He actually has, I think.
yeah, I'm not open that kind of way right now.
I don't know if that's praise, though. Yeah, it's Gylfi Sigurdsson. I said an 8, and these two guys said a 9. Not really sure why I gave him an 8. I think he should be starting, but yeah, there's that. Our midfield looks like this then. Our starting midfield. All right, you've got on the wings, you've got Walcott and Lookman, and in the center. You have Idrissa Gueye, Gylfi Sigurdsson, and Kieran Dowell. It's a very offensive forward
Yeah,
squad.
interest.
Yeah. And lastly, let's do strikers. Oh, what
Yeah,
was that?
Kieran dialed them well to get in there.
That's
No.
crazy. I have no idea how that happened.
You got it. I'm probably responsible for that. Oh well.
Yeah, you giving him an 8 was what did
Yeah.
it.
I know he's had a good year, though.
Yeah. So, strikers. I'm going to say Shani Terashaj's name just because, but he got a 3, a 4, and a 4. He's not in shape. He's not going to play first team probably next season. Sandro Ramirez, a 5, a 2, and a 4. He's probably, it depends on who our coach is, our new manager is, as to whether or not what his situation is. But we know he doesn't want to be back. DCL. A 6, a 7, and a 7. He has the exact same numbers as Omar, who had a 7, a 6, and a 7. All right? Same average. However, and so basically, if you think about the best scores out of everyone, those two guys should be in there. Technically, they should be ahead of Jagielka, but we need a center back, and we can't roll with like three strikers. So they don't make it in. All right. Lastly, Cenk Tosun, an 8, a 9, and a 9. He's our starting striker. There you go. So that's what our 11 look like. Pickford, Baines, Jagielka, Holgate, Coleman, Idrissa Gueye, Sigurdsson, Kieran Dowell, Walcott, Lookman, and Cenk Tosun.
That midfield.
That is a very, I'm worried we would leak goals like crazy. So also the lowest ranking segment that we have of the best 11 are our center backs. Okay. That should be pinpointed as an area, a serious area of concern. Okay.
I think the central areas in general, in midfield and defense, are both in need of investment really.
Mm-hmm. The fact that Dowell got in, I think, says something. Okay. Mm. I don't think Dowell would normally be in there. I don't think Jagielka would normally be in there. Okay. Yeah. And Baines is borderline. Okay. Yeah. So if we go based on that, that means we need a box-to-box type midfielder that can play the same position that a Davies plays, you know?
Mm-hmm. Got to tick David's criteria of gets involved with goals as well.
That's true. That's true.
It's the role, not the personnel. I don't like the role.
I will agree, though. I would love to see a player... I don't know. I think about a player that is very helpful on defense, but also can create some moving forward. You know, yeah. That's what Schneiderlin doesn't really do. You know, but we need left back help. We need center back help. We need some center mid help somewhere in there. All right. Yeah. If you're listening via podcast, thank you. Subscribe to the Toffee Blues podcast and rate it if you can. Check out the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Please subscribe to us on YouTube. Check out David. He's got articles on the Toffee Blues website. So does Max. They're awesome. Their analysis is great. And I think that's it. I got 10 seconds to spare.
Breathe.
All right. Sorry. My memory card was running out. All right. That's it. Bye.